How are the Savage Street Saints? Still saintly so far. What, you had all those S's going, then you hit the far.
Yeah, sorry.
Cheryl, hi.
I have good news about Aaliyah.
Say it again?
Good news about Aaliyah.
Oh.
She wants to start coming after church.
Well, great, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, let's turn to 2 Kings 21. Now, you know, we're almost at the end of the Kings here, and there's a couple of other subjects I'm thinking about. One of them is something that I covered a long time ago. I don't know how long ago it was, but I think it'd be good just to do it again, and plus I have some material to add to it. But I don't remember if I taught it on a Sunday or a Wednesday back then, and that was on meditation, meditating on the Scriptures. Does anybody know if I did it on Wednesday or Sundays? You remember me doing it? Oh, I was hoping everyone would say, no, I don't remember that. Okay, good. So is it just Lynn and Andrea that remember that? The class at all? You were here then? Well, if it was too soon, then I won't do it again. But, I'll have to check. Okay, let's begin with a prayer. Holy God, thank you for this evening, and thank you for the saints which meet here. Father, help us to be encouraged. Help us to know that we're on the winning side and that the devil and all his cohorts may be against us, yet we know that you in heaven are with us and that there are many people throughout the world who are for us. Not only people who name the name of Christ, but also there are people out in the world who see the benefit of the church and support us and want us here. But we pray that in time they will want to become part of us and not just outside observers. Father, help us to learn from these closing parts of the books of the Kings. We want to learn from Israel's leaders. We don't want to make their same mistakes. We want to learn from the things they did that were right. And we want to be able to let others know how this book affects and could affect our nation and our local communities. We wish that everyone would hunger and thirst for the Scriptures, but we know we have to make the Scriptures desirable. People have to see in us something that they do not see in the world so that they might be curious and want to know why we're different. And we can simply tell them that we follow the teachings of the Scriptures. And may that then lead to their desire to want to know your will. And may we then be ready to lead them in that way. Please empower us, Father, to know what we need to know and to be what we need to be for those people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, we had read verses 1 through 9, but I'd like to do it again. Just because it's been almost a week and a half since we met. Okay, so 2 Kings 21, 1 through 9. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers. Only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they paid no attention. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. It almost seemed like to me like he was just looking for anything. He wanted, if God said don't do it, to him that was a reason to do it. Doesn't it seem like that? It just, the writer is just telling us he tried this, he did this, and 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 this. And not only did he just do those things, but he set up these images and all these different things right in the temple itself.
Just,
yeah, he was just thumbing his nose at God, wasn't he?
That's what happened when you become king at 12 years old, huh?
I guess. Pretty amazing. It just, yeah, that is a long time. And for me, who am so young, it's very hard for me to... And for me, who am so young, it's hard for me to imagine being that long. You what? Yeah. I guess not. Or he didn't just... didn't care, or who knows what, you know? I mean, it's like... Or he just didn't know. Maybe someone didn't educate him. I mean, I think, for example... Remember, you were in my class I held on Friday night on the American Heritage series about the influence of Christianity in the Bible and the making of America, and how much of that was new to us, and yet it's there, easy to find. A lot of it, I would double check on it, and I would just go to the Library of Congress online, and there that stuff is. You can go to the Library of Congress online, and they've got a religion section. And it'll show you religion in America. It's right there for the whole world to see, you know. And so, you know, sometimes you get removed from something and you forget about it. The king in Egypt who didn't know Joseph, he's a good example. I mean, how long does it take? Or I've heard it said that the church as a whole, or you could say a nation as a whole, is one generation away from total apostasy. Isn't that right? You know, in fact, we all, you know, I've mentioned the situation with Pharaoh quite often, but look at Judges chapter 2. So that was, you know, with Egypt in Exodus 1, I mean, with the Pharaoh, that's with Egypt. Someone did not teach that Pharaoh about Joseph and how he saved the nation of Egypt. But now look at Judges 2, verse 7. So the people, that's Israel, served the Lord all the days of Joshua, okay, right away I know I'm going to read something like but or and then. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation of Israelites arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. How about King Joash? We've seen that in 2 Kings. He was the one that became king when he was 8, if I remember right. Or 6, one of the two. And, yeah, he was 6 years old. Remember, and it was his grandmother who had killed all his brothers when her son had died so she could reign as king, queen. And the high priest hid Joash and then helped him when he became king, and he served the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the high priest. And when he died, it's like Joash forgot everything that he had done for him. Did Joash? Yeah, right, yes, you're right. And there's another one I was just thinking of. Oh, Gideon. Oh, look at this. I was going to say I love this, but I really don't love it. But look at Judges 8. Yes, sir.
When you think of generation, you think of whether a 100-year generation or a 50-year generation or a 25. When you think you're speaking about, that's the question. I mean, I don't know where it goes. You wondered how many years they gave these new generations to. Like you said, they came forth and didn't know a thing of the Lord.
Right.
I wonder how long, how wide their generations were.
Yeah, in that case it said all the people...
Oh, death.
Pardon?
Yeah, well, of death. In other words, they died. The older generation had all died and gone to their fathers.
The ones who were alive during the days of Joshua and the elders that he served with and who saw the works of God. When all those people were gone, that's like another generation. Now a new group of people have grown up. Obviously, some of them were alive when those people were alive, but now they're grown up and they become adults, but they don't know God. So, and I think it's different. You know, like in the pre-flood days, a generation would be more than what it would be today with us. But it's, I've heard 40 years and 25 and different things. Kind of hard to...
You can almost look at our present situation.
Sure, that's right.
The one, the young ones now that say that's under 30, 35, have no idea about any, that don't seem to have the general population. That doesn't mean there aren't exceptions.
Right.
But they're very ignorant of any kind, anything spiritual.
Yeah, I think that's definitely happening, no doubt about it. Okay, so look at Judges 8:33. So it was as soon as Gideon was dead. You know the rest of it's not going to be good. That the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-Berith their god. Can you believe it? It's like, when is this old guy going to die? Okay, he fought a war a couple of decades ago. We're done. We're past that. We're moving on. We're progressive here. Oh, good. He's dead. Now we can get back to doing what we really want to do, and that is we want to worship the Baals, not the Lord God, Jehovah of Israel. You see how, doesn't that wording amaze you right there? That's why I've said before, I believe that if all Christians knew the Old Testament, you'd be surprised how much it would teach us about human behavior, like in this case, how easily we fall away, and just what some of our other problems are, and that the dangers of falling away. And can it almost seems to me like we cannot stop teaching. The teaching is the lifeblood of the church. If the church quits teaching, it'll cease to exist as people's memory fades of what's in there. Yes, Gene.
Mm. They didn't know that. They acknowledged what they were taught.
Right.
Not taught. But that's just 50 years.
I remember hearing that, yeah. Right. Yep. And a lot of that happens today, too, in America, you know. Oh, you had a question. Somebody had their hand up here.
I did. I'm trying to think of what it was.
Well, let me go to Paul, and then when you remember, come back. Paul?
Do you know of what the Baal's morality was?
I used to know, but I don't remember right now.
Like today, where everything goes, not responsible for anything?
If I remember right, and someone can check me up on this, Baal was a fertility god. And if I'm correct on that, then just to put it bluntly, the more sex goes on, the more your crops will increase. That's kind of how they looked at it. So it was kind of like a good excuse to do... Yeah.
Time to grow anything.
Pardon?
Did they have time to grow anything?
Well, you conquered other people and made them slaves and made them do it. That was very funny, Vicky. I like that. Oh, did you remember?
Yeah.
Okay, and then we can...
I was thinking about Solomon, all he had.
Yeah.
Then he went to idols, and it said there, now the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Look what he had.
Yeah.
Look what he lost.
Yeah, you're going to make it hard for me to be serious for the rest of the class in my mind. Okay, Lynn?
Don't you think a lot of it has to do with teaching God at home?
Oh, sure, yes. Yeah, you're right. It has to be both in the home and in the church. We need to be teaching this book. We really do. And I know you all believe that. That's why you're here tonight. Okay, so how old was Manasseh when he died?
67.
67 years old. And who did he use as a model as... like for a king, rather than David? Ahab, that's right, Ahab of Israel. Of all the guys to pick. So obviously he knew Israel's history to some extent, right, Tim? Because he knew of Ahab. And he liked evidently what he knew of Ahab, but maybe he didn't know the whole story. I suppose that's possible. You know, there's people... historical people that you hear about, and you only hear one side of them. Maybe you only hear the bad side, or maybe you only hear the good side, and then we get a skewed view of that person. Okay, so you know, verses 3 through 8, we don't have to, I think I have on your handouts there, you know, what were his sins, and that I want to get moving on here, so we've already kind of noted that in a brief way, but who did more evil, the Canaanites or Manasseh?
Manasseh.
Now again, this just absolutely blows my mind. I mean, who are the Canaanites? I mean, they were ungodly people. When you read the law, when God gave Moses the law and he gave it to Israel, he told them, here is what the Canaanites, the Amorites, and all those people living there, here's what they do. He would mention the incest. He would mention the human sacrifices and all these different things. He said, don't you do them, or I'll do to you what I'm using you to do to them. I'll take you out of the land. And here they are doing it. Hundreds of years later. It took them a while to get there, but they got there. And guess what? God's going to kick them out. He's already, at this point, he's already taken Israel, the northern 10 tribes, into Assyrian captivity, remember? And now, he's ramping up to send them to Babylon. All right, 10 through 15. Yes, ma'am. Sister.
Can we answer the first question? Why did God let such a group of men reign for Babylon?
Oh, yeah, I know we did discuss it last time. And what does anybody remember what we said? Why did God let such an evil man reign, you know, for 55 years? Seems like he would have put him down right away.
Somebody wipes a dish.
Right.
And let it fail.
So the question is, did God want to do that?
No.
And who was leading them, more than any other Judean king, who was leading them down that path?
Manasseh.
And then his son Ammon, who only reigned 2 years.
So it's like he wanted to give
them
enough rope to hang
himself. Or he was waiting for him to repent, because he did. It's not here in Kings, but in the Chronicles, it mentions that he did the same thing as Ahab did, interestingly, that Ahab was his model. He did humble himself at one point, and God held off a certain punishment. I don't remember exactly what it was right now, but he did humble himself, and he turned to the Lord, at least briefly. So sometimes God, we may think that sometimes long life is because God loves us and approves of us, but that may not necessarily be the case. It might be that he's just waiting for us to repent. Carl?
My thought is that probably not just the king, in that he was the leader and maybe started some things, but we don't in any way, shape, or form get the idea that all the people thought, wow, this guy's off his rocker, and if they weren't just jumping right on the bandwagon going along with it, then there would have been a coup or whatever, and they would have gotten rid of them if they were right along with the ride and happy to do so.
Yeah, so you're saying it wasn't just him, but he was really the leader of probably the majority of them doing this, yeah. Yes?
I can read it out of Chronicles.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us where it is.
Now, when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God.
Yeah, so that, you know, maybe that's what God was waiting for.
That's the 2 Chronicles 33:12.
2 Chronicles 33:12 and following, okay. Thanks, brother. Yeah, right. Okay, 2 Kings 21:10-15. And the Lord spoke by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin. That shows, Carl, that there's the people who are going right along with it. Made him sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Because it's empty, there's nothing left in it. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of my enemies, and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, I kind of went further than I meant to there. I was just off the 15. But it's kind of like the writer's just saying, oh, by the way, here's some more sins this guy's committed. Okay. So I kind of answered the question that I have already on your handouts there. I mean, what did the Lord mean by the wiping of a dish? And to me, it's just like you're cleaning it and you wipe it and you set it there to dry, to air dry, and you usually don't do that. Things like you turn it over. You what?
You're through with it.
You're through with it. You know, there's nothing in it anymore. And that's what he was going to do to Jerusalem. But Jeremiah 9 shows that they didn't believe that. They said, the temple of the Lord are these. The temple of the Lord are these. The temple of the Lord are these, Jeremiah. They said it three times. What you're prophesying cannot come to pass because this is the temple of God right here. As though it's a good luck charm to keep them from suffering at the hands of Babylon. Or maybe they were just thinking God would not destroy his own house. But guess what? He did, and that wasn't the last time that he did it. He did it again in AD 70 with the Romans. So how long had God's people been provoking him? What did this text say? So how much time are we talking about? You know, we're talking several hundred years. Where was the Egypt reference in verse 15?
Yeah.
So, okay, so since they came out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt in 1445. That's the cross. And does anybody have in their Bibles about the time period right here that we're looking at?
642. That's when Manasseh died.
Right, okay. So Manasseh died in 642. This is all B.C., of course, before Christ. So what are we talking about? 800 years. Could you be that patient with people like that for that long? Yes, Gene.
It wasn't that they had forgotten God. They knew who he was. Because they thought their building was sacred. He wouldn't destroy it.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeremiah 9 is really good on that point.
They were just flat opposing
him. Yeah. And if you remember during the days of Jesus, when he talked about the temple being destroyed, that was one of the accusations they made against him that led to his death. This guy is talking about destroying the temple. I mean, and again, I think the thinking is, this is the temple of the Lord. You're telling us that God cannot defend his own temple? But they completely missed the point of the temple and of what God wants from man. He raised up in 3 days, referring to his own body. Okay, so God's love is eternal, God's power is endless, but his patience, while it is magnificent and very long suffering, it seems like it has a limit, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
So it's different than his other attributes. It just gets to a point where he says, that's it, no more.
Well, that's when Jesus comes back. That's it.
Well, you're right, yeah. And the days of Noah, same thing. All right, 16, I already read that. So how much blood did Manasseh shed?
So much that he filled Jerusalem from
one. Yeah, now what does that mean, he filled Jerusalem from one end to another?
Yeah, he killed all the people. Or enough people that it was all bloody.
Okay, so it's not necessarily that it literally filled up like a pool. But the picture that I get is that in every part of the city, he's having people kill. He's probably having it done. He may have done some himself, but I would say the majority of it, he had it just everywhere. There's nowhere you could go where he did not order someone's death who was innocent. And those may have been the people who were opposing him and the others who were following him. Tim? Yeah, I know that the history says Isaiah was sawn in half, and it was Manasseh that did that? Huh, interesting. Can you imagine that? That's no magician's trick we're talking about. Hebrews 11 talks about someone being sawn in half. What a way to die, huh? Wow. Okay, so Manasseh dies, 17 and 18. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, all that he did and the sin that he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Manasseh rested with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. So it almost, you know, if you were if you were to read verse 18 all by itself, and you were not familiar with the Bible, you would think this is a good thing. He rested with his fathers. He was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. I mean, doesn't that sound like a good thing?
Yeah, but...
Right. So it continues. Then his son Ammon reigned in his place. Ammon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Haruz of Jotba, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. So why do you think he only reigned 2 years?
His officials assassinated him.
But why did God let Manasseh go 55 years, but Ammon only... Excuse me, only 2 years. What was that?
I said, who knows?
You don't know?
Who knows?
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I'm just wondering if, God is just, I mean, God's had it at this point. There's still a good king to come, but Judah's going downhill fast. And who did he use as a model? Who did he use as a model for being a king? His own father. So there's a time not to imitate your parents when they're doing evil. Phil?
I was thinking here that said Manasseh seduced them to do more evil. He convinced them. See, over here, it just says Ammon just, he walked in the ways of his father, and maybe he didn't have enough convince them to keep it on.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was just 22 when this started, and he's dead when he's 24.
So everything he knew, he's during his father's bad part.
Yeah. Okay, the rest of the chapter. Then the servants of Ammon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Ammon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And he was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah. Then Josiah his son reigned in his place. Say that again.
His son could not have been very old.
No. In fact, we'll find out in the next chapter how old he was. He was very young. So, how did the people react to the assassins? They killed them. I don't know why people assassinate. I mean, they always go down in shame, don't they? Or am I missing something? And what do you know of Josiah? You know, when he dies, Zechariah 12 makes a reference to the mourning that happened in the land of Judah because he was the last good king of Judah, and he died sooner than he should have because he made a big mistake. And the Jews later, when they saw what happened and how Josiah actually held off, even delayed the Babylonian captivity. And I think they mourned because if he had perhaps lived longer, his influence would have been greater. He would have influenced his sons perhaps even more people in the land of Judah. maybe the Babylonian captivity never would have come, although in a sense it was already set. But the mourning that happened then was so bad that Zechariah 12 uses it as a mourning for the mourning, uses it as a model for the mourning that would happen when Jesus died. That's what Zechariah 12 is prophesying about, the death of Jesus and how sad people would be then. It would be like the sadness that Judah experienced when Josiah was killed. All right, let's look at the next part here now. Here. Oh. I'll have someone behind him give it to him. There you go. And Tim, if you could give one to Dan there in front of you. Yes, ma'am. Oh, really? Uh-huh.
And before the started, I asked Zoe, well, what part are you going to play? And it was the sweetest little smile. She said, I'm an idol worshiper.
That was my granddaughter? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That was funny. Oh, boy. That is too much. Wow, that's funny. Okay, so as you see, I've titled this, Someone Found a Book. This is one of the great stories of the Bible, in my opinion. Okay, so verse 1, Josiah, and here's the answer, Dave, was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaya of Boskath.
Well, translated backwards just a little bit, look how young that Ammon was when he was the father of the baby.
Yeah, he would have been probably 16, right? Yeah.
15,
16, yep. Okay, so you know, as I put there in the first question, you know, 31 years is a long reign, but how long did he truly function as king? See, Zoe's 8. She'll be 9 next month. So, being so glad to play an idol worshiper, I mean, do you think she should function as a queen if, you know, pardon?
She would need advisors.
Regents, I guess they're called. You know that, and that's what a regent does. They just, until that person is old enough and mature enough to handle running the state. So he reigned. He reigned 39 years. I mean 31 years, which means he was how old when he died? 39. All of a sudden, now that sounds really young. 39 years old. Wasn't Hezekiah 39 when God sent Isaiah to him and said, set your house in order, you're going to die. And then God gave him another 15 years and he lived to be 54. Okay, so anyways, let's keep reading. Verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Whew. Man, what a contrast to what we've just read. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. Not Ahab or Manasseh or Ammon or the Canaanites. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. So what three things does the Bible say of Josiah's reign?
He walked right in the sight of God.
Okay, what was number 2? What was that? Which father?
David.
Okay. Walked, you said, Lynn?
Yes.
And what was the last thing?
In all the way of David.
Okay. I'll just did not, right, did not turn here, and you can put on your paper, did not turn to the right or left. What does that mean, not to go to the right or the left?
He was steadfast.
He was steadfast. He was... went straight down the path. Didn't go from one extreme to the other.
He wasn't swayed.
He was a balanced man. So everything sounds good, doesn't it?
That was it.
All right. 3-7. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. So how old is he at that point?
26
years old. That the king sent Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam. I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about what Zoe said. Oh, get serious here, Don. To the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money, excuse me, which had been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house. This is the temple that Solomon built. To carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into the hand, because they deal faithfully. Wow. Okay, now, really the writer is not wanting to tell us about the repairing or restoring of the temple. This is just a prelude to a more significant event. Something happened while they're doing this. So obviously he had enough education to know that this is the house of the Lord and it should be in good shape. And as king, you know, he had the authority to get the money together and you know, order people to work on this thing. And how much did he trust the workers and everybody involved in it? No account was needed. That's how much he, and I think that would say not only something about him and his trust in them, but they themselves had so operated that he could trust them. Wow. Now, verses 8 through 10 is, in my opinion, one of the most remarkable discoveries in the Bible. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Can you imagine such a scenario happening in Israel? Do you understand what's going on? It sounds to me like, first of all, no one has read the word to Josiah before. He's had no knowledge of the scriptures, except for whatever maybe people have taught verbally or whatever. He's never read it.
Well, it goes for all them before it, too.
How long has it been hidden? And that would mean also throughout any meeting places throughout the land, there's not been scripture. If there is scripture, it's been set aside and people have forgotten about it. So this, the high priest of all people, makes this discovery. Wow, look what I found. This is the book that tells us about doing all this work here. Andrea.
Depending how long it was lost, it gives insight to maybe why those kings were so evil. Maybe no one has read God's word for quite a long time.
Okay, and let's just say it was only during Manasseh and Ammon's reigns, which that may very well have been. That's 57 years. Wow. I don't want to stop. I got to wait till Sunday, though. Larry.
What would happen if our Congress would find this Declaration of Independence?
Yeah, right, yeah. And the Constitution, yeah.
We worry about Zoe and the island.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You're probably the Adam
Sheep. Well, that makes me feel a little better.